How did that get up to 23? Anyway.
See the Model 3, man? Oh my goodness. That thing is unbelievable.
The Model 3?
The new Tesla car.
Oh.
My God. Talk about engineering.
Okay. So, we're starting out, and so I positioned sub one at looking at this one, and sub two at looking at the one next down.
That's the bubble.
And no, this is the top down.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I positioned them. Now, the difference is, if it was the bubble, I'd compare 1536. They don't need to be switched. Then I'd compare the next two, 3624. Then I'd compare 24 and so forth. With the top down, I compare 15 to 36. Then I compare 15 to 24.
Oh, I see.
So that's the difference in how it goes.
12, and then 12 would move up.
Right, so now I'm comparing 15 to 24. Then I'm comparing 15 to 12. And that's when I do the flip. And I do the same hold area and the same kind of flip. It's just the order that I'm doing them in. So I'm still got the hold area, which had the 15 in it. I'm now putting the 12 into it and putting the 15 down below. And then I compare the 12 to the 20. And at that point, that doesn't need to be flipped. And so that is the end of the pass. Now what this has done is it's got the lowest number at the top. Because I compared what was at the top to everything. So it's got the lowest number at the top. Okay? So at the end of the pass, I now say, okay, now I'm going to start looking at one. Well, that ran through the whole thing. Now I'm going to look at, because 12 is now at the top, so I'm going to look at 36 and compare that to everything. So 36 and 24 get flipped, 15 will end up getting flipped, and I'm just comparing the second one to everything. Okay? So I go along. And then I compare 36 to 15, and they need to be flipped, too. And so 24 to 15, because 36 already's gotten put down. So now I'm comparing. So I'm comparing what's in the second spot to everything. And so I end up getting the second smallest, because the 15 will come up here, and I'll get those two put aside. Then I've only got those three left. And so at the end of every pass, I am getting, you know, one number in its place. Okay. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
All two of you?
All two of us.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, Frank will be back. He,
I wonder if this is actually what we're working on. Yeah, it doesn't
Well, now you can go back and look and figure it out. Because the bubble, as I said, the difference is it keeps taking two.
I think it actually is a top-down, because the way we had it working out was we have, you know, I variable compared to I and then I plus one. So
that could be either one, depending on how you're comparing. The key thing here is that I keep comparing to what's in the second slot. So I compare the second to the third, and the second to the fourth, and the second to the fifth, and I keep that second constant.
Yeah, but the difference is, like, with the top down, you're holding the first variable and comparing it to the second and then the third. Whereas the bubble, you're holding the second and comparing it to the first.
No. In the bubble, you compare first, second, second, third, third, fourth, fifth.
Okay, so you have two counters, really.
So if we go in... Hello, where am I?
I think this is the top down, the way you had it going, I guess.
Okay, so here's the bubble, and the difference in the bubble is it starts out at the 1 compared to 2, and then let's see if I can actually touch this. Yes. So now I'm comparing 2 to 3, and then I'm comparing 3 to 4. So I keep adding 1 to both of them. You know, I'm adding 1, so I compare 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. Position-wise, we're talking now, because those are the subscripts. Whereas in the top-down, I compare 1 to 2, 1 to 3, 1 to 4, 1 to 5. And then when I got through the whole pass, I changed this to 2, and I compare 2 to 1, 2 to 2, 2 to 3, 2 to 4. So I go down, and I then, you know, once I finish with the 1, now I'm comparing 2 to 3, 2 to 4, 2 to 5. And when I get through that one whole thing, then sub 1 will become a 3, and I'll compare 3 to 4, 3 to 5. And that's the difference between the two. Okay. So that's how that works. Any other questions on that?
No.
Okay. And then on the, you were asking about the mod, and I'm sure that other people will too, so let's just take a quick look at that. Mod 11 explanation. Okay, so what I said was, and actually this is 6 digits, but the complete ID ends up being 7, because I figure out the 7 is the check digit. So the complete ID, this is the part of the ID that's assigned randomly or whatever by the company or sequentially or however they assigned it. Then I do the calculation, and the 7 goes on at the end. So this is now the ID.
And
so when I'm comparing, I do the math on this. I take the answer and I compare it to the 7 that's there.
And the calculations of the ID would be based on the first 6.
Yes.
Okay. And then once the calculation is done, I will get the check digit and concatenate it with that. Let's say I'll call it a substring.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do. And then I'll compare the new concatenation number with the ID.
Right. And I mean, I'd concatenate them and store them as a whole.
Right.
So that you have the ID
so
as
then
a whole.
I can compare the new and the ID.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. I like that. Good old substring.
What? Okay. So, any other questions? Okay.
Try a roll in the future.
It's quite all right.
It's only a matter of time.
Okay, so if I go, I am leaving you pretty much on your own to do Chapter 9, because there's really not a lot to say about Chapter 9. Chapter 9 is how to write a file. And I've given you examples that you can look at as to how to read and write. And I've given you other examples in the past. So they're creating a file. Now, why do you create a file? Not often, which is why we're going to move on to databases, because that's what you really do, is create tables and databases for most things. But what you do is a file in today's world tends to be the quick and dirty thing, that I want to create a quick file to hold something, and it's not very pretty. The way they do it, it's tedious, it's not particularly, you know, okay, that's fine, now I've got a file. But it's not something that is very important. So read through Chapter 9, look at my examples, and that's how you create a file. Okay? We've done it before. I went through it before. I gave you the older version before, which is the easy way. This is a streaming way that they do in Chapter 9. And as I said, I've got the two examples that work. But basically, there's nothing much I can say other than show you the example, which you can read as well as I can. So what I want to do is I want to look at the ADO stuff. And the ADO stuff, we're going to start out looking at Access 2000. Well, we're going to look at 2012 because that's what we got. But we're going to start looking at Access. However, some of the things don't work right on Access. So we're going to move on and look at SQL Server, which is another kind of database. And that is the one that would be recommended for anything significant that you're doing. Access, well, I think of Access as the toy database. You know, I mean, it's you got a small company in the mom and pop shop and they want to make a database, that's Access. And then we're going to look at Web Matrix, which allows you to create web pages and use a database in creating the web pages. So that's where we're going for the rest of the semester. But before we get into doing some of the sophisticated stuff, your book goes into how to do this with a wizard. And I think you should know how to do the code. So we're going to look at the examples here using Access 2012, we're going to use it with. And so we're going to look at these examples so that you can see how to write the code. You should also read the book, which tells you how to do it as a wizard and tells you how to do it as using SQL SQL Server. But we'll get into that probably next week. I don't think we'll make it through everything before next week. We might get into it Thursday, but I think it will be next week. So, in all of this, I should have been bringing up Visual Studio. So we will now have a slight pause, and you can download stuff if you haven't downloaded. So all the stuff under Access using 2010 down to here. Don't bother to download those.
It says or. Does it matter?
Say that again?
I know it says or, but does it matter?
I wondered that too because I'd forgotten. Apparently, they're out on two different servers because one of the servers went bad one day.
Oh.
And so I have them on. If you look at them, it's exactly the same thing, but they're on two different servers. So apparently, whatever I was doing that particular day, the server was down and I had to put them out.
This one says or.
That's what he was just saying.
Oh,
you can download either one of them.
Okay.
They're on different servers, and so it doesn't much matter. It's the same thing, just on different servers. I probably should get rid of those, but every time I think about it, I'm here as opposed to home. And what was the first one in this list? Donor Form SQL. Now, you all know some Access, right?
Yep.
Okay. And mainly out of 120, you know access if you don't know it from anyplace else. So you know access too? Do you know access? You know access?
Yep.
The access database. Have you taken CIS 120?
I did.
Okay, the ones who gotten into the access database.
I did not.
Okay, well, look it up, okay? Go and do a little bit of, you know, of remembering how to create a database and access. But what I did for these is I'm going to be reading an access database. Now, where did I create it? I created an access. Okay, I didn't create it in Visual Basic. I went and created an access. Are there ways to create it in Visual Basic? Yes. But right now, the easiest way is to create it in Access. So I went over to Access and I created a database. Okay. And so what we're doing here is largely going to be talking about, if I can find the little line that's going to let me make that smaller. Come on, you can do it. All right. Okay, so I made an access database, and the access database is stored such that I can use it, and we'll look at that in a minute. Hopefully yours is working because the access database is yours working.
When I ran it, it showed the message box and that crashed.
And that crashed?
Yeah. As did mine.
Huh?
As did mine.
Oh, good. Well, let's see if mine goes any further before we get carried away here. Okay, so I set here, select DID number, DNAME, from donor 2000. Okay, so the table is donor 2000, DID number, DNAME, and we'll look at the tables in a minute. And then I said, okay, and mine is working. Okay, why does it like me better than you?
Do we need to have the access?
It's in there. So if you go and look, I'll get out and go and show you, and you can double check. If you go into files, and you go into mine's on my F drive, and it's under VBADO access, and it was donor form. What was this? Donor form SQL 12. And if you go into the bin, so I'm keep clicking as I brought it up. Okay, so there is the, I went into Windows Explorer, okay, and I've brought it up, there's the program. Keep clicking on the folder, get to the point that you're clicking on the bin, then click on debug, and there you can see my access database.
Oh, okay. I don't think I have access on here. That might be why.
Yours, that would be why with you, maybe, if you don't have access on it.
I have access on mine.
But, okay, either of you, then why don't you try using the computer we provide?
Jesus, not enough time.
Okay, because they work for me, and I'm using the computer we provided. And there's donor ACCDB.
Well, is access is part of Office, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Office.
Well, it's not the free part of Office. Now, you can get it for free if you download it from either DreamSpark or I think, what is it called? Office 365 or something?
Yeah.
I believe you can get access through that as well. Okay, so there is donor ACCDB. So that's where the database is stored. So, okay, I went into Access, and I can put it right there, okay? When you get into the wizard and everything, when we stop it, but we're going to talk more Thursday about how to create it. But to now, I'm going to say create it in Access and put it where it needs to be, okay? So that's what I did. So there it is. as donor ACCDB. And if I close up and I go to access and I say open other files and I want to go and browse, and I browse by going to my F drive and then going to where I stored it. Okay, so now I'm going to open this. So I'm saying open, and there's my database. Okay, so I mean, clearly on this database I have enough stuff to sink a ship, but I've got some tables in here, and it's in the Access database. I think I was using the donor table, so if I come down here and click on the donor table, come on, you can do it. There's the design view of the donor table. So this is what I had to know when I was going over there and saying I want to see DID number, D name, and whatever else I said. I don't remember. I think I had one other thing. But those names, the DID number, D name, were gotten because I knew what was on the Access database table. Okay, so the table is called Donor 2000, and those are the fields that are on it. And if you go and do a view of those are the names that I have on there. Okay, so that's the data that we're going to see when I run through the data, is the data that was on the database. Okay, so again, I had a database that I created, and if you have a database that you created in another course, you can use the database from another course. But that's the database that I created. Okay. Those are the fields, and then I've got the data on it. Questions? Is everybody okay with that? Are you okay? So that's my database, and the database is inside the program in the bin, and what I've done is, if you look at the code, well, let's run it one more time. So I just did a message box to show this, just so you can see it. So obviously I didn't need the message box, but I just did a message box, and here is the message box over here that is showing it. And I had a bunch of message boxes, actually. And in fact, I think I will take out this, and I'm going to actually show the different message boxes. Okay, so I'm going to take out the comment out and show my different message boxes here. Okay, so now if I run, come on, you can do it. Hello, thank you. Okay, so I set up in here. The first thing I did is I set up dim the current path. Okay, so I'm going to set up a current path to tell it where to find the database. So I said, as string. And I put in what VB gives me that I can put in there, which is system environment current directory. Okay? So if I write there system environment current directory, then I don't have to write out the actual path. But now I'm saying message box here, show current path. So it's showing you the path. What I don't want is I don't want to have to put this path in because the path involves the F drive. It involves a bunch of other things, and I don't want to hard code those in. So I basically say, dim the current path as the system environment current directory. And it knows that it should go to where the program is, and there is the program, and there's the bin that I said to go into, and there's the debug that I said to go into. So you know I told you to keep clicking until you found it? Well, it was in the debug. So that's the current path. Okay, so that's my current path. Then I said, okay, dim the connection string as provider is, and I could not do this or would not remember to do this. This is a copy and paste for me. Okay, so provider equals Microsoft, ACE, OLED, etc. Okay, concatenated with data source equals concatenated with the current path, concatenated with the name of the database. Okay? And as I said, this is a copy and paste. The only thing I have to change from one program to another is the name of the database. Okay? So now I'm going to click the OK, and the next message comes up, and that includes all of that stuff that I just said it was going to include. So that is the connection string. Okay, that's the connection string. Okay. So that's the connection string that connects me to my database. Okay, so now the next thing I've got to do is I now have got a connect to the database. But now I've got to tell it what I wanted to get out of the database. I've connected to the database. I've got to tell it what I want to get out of the database. And so I am saying, and I've got a variety of them here that you can try, but on the first one, I simply said, select DID number, DNAME from DONA. Okay? And I'm calling that SQL string. Okay, so now that I know the path and I know how to connect to the database, I can put in the SQL. And so my next message is going to tell me the SQL string, which is select DID number, DNAME, etc. Okay, from DONA 2000. And you saw that when I went over to my database, the table was called DONA 2000. And it had a field called the ID number and DNAME. Okay? So then I said, okay, dim the data adapter as a new OLEDB, da 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 da. What that is doing is it's putting together the select that I want to use and where the table is. So the SQL string is the select I want to use. The connect string is the connection, the path to the database. So I've got the select, and I'm telling it the path to the database. Okay, so that dim data adapter is basically connecting my SQL to my table. Does that make sense? Okay, then I say, okay, now fill the data adapter with donor DT. And donor DT is up here. Dim donor DT as a new data table. And by the way, while I'm up here, I got a row index that I'm going to use that I dimmed in the global area as well. So I'm filling the data adapter, or actually I'm filling donor DT. Data adapter fill of donor DT. Said that wrong. And now I can dispose of the data adapter, which people do to cut down too much overhead, basically. Although I don't have to do it. And in fact, I don't think I did it in all of them. And then I said, okay, now go do fill text boxes. Okay? So if I click on the okay, the next thing it's going to do is fill the text boxes. Okay, so it just filled the text box. And it filled the text box with the first record on the file. Okay, so up here in my on load, this was a subroutine that's when I load the form. So when I load the form, I establish the address, I establish the path, I establish the link, and then I say, okay, now that you know where the table is and everything, go fill the text boxes. So the two statements that fill the text box are text ID number dot text is going to equal, and I'm converting to string, and I'm going to donor DT, which I filled, and I'm going to rows modified by row index, and it automatically starts row index out at zero. And the field I want is DID number. And the next field that I want is DNAME. So it's going to the row, which means the record. Okay, I have, I think, five records on this table. So row zero is going to grab what's in the first record. Row one is going to grab what's in the second record and so forth. And it's calling them rows. And then I have to tell them, okay, now I've got to the right row. What field do I want? So I want to take the DID number field and put it in the text box and the DNAME field and put it in the text box. Does that make sense?
Click Edit, then you click Read Next, it'll show you the different ones.
That's right. We haven't clicked Next yet. Right now, we've just seen the first.
When we do
Read Next, we're going to do this routine up here, which will show you the next one. So, right now, the load just said, go do the subroutine called Fill Text Boxes. And I just had a subroutine that I made. I wrote sub fill text boxes, and I put those two lines in it. So now, if I hit read next, it reads the next record. And what read next did was say, if the row index is less than the donor row count minus one, because remember, the count doesn't start at zero. So I'm saying if the row index is less than the count minus one, then add one to the row index and fill the text boxes. If it's not, I just started over again, but that was probably stupid. I could have put up a you're done message or something like that, but I just started over. So you can see I go to John Doe, then I go to Mary Wilson, then I go to Nancy Taylor, then I go to Robert Brooks. Now I'm back to John Doe, and I go to John New, and Mary Wilson, and Nancy Taylor, and Robert Brooks, and I'm back to John Doe. So my else just recycles because I set the row index equal to zero, so it just recycles back. Instead, I could have put up a message that said end of file reached, okay, in the else, and not recycled. But I recycled. Questions? There are certain parts of this that are definitely copy and paste, as far as I'm concerned. For example, dim data adapter as... that's a copy line, and the string is a copy line. I'm not going to remember those. So the dim current path and the dim connection string, I'm not going to remember them. If I did it every day, I'm sure I would, but I'm not going to remember them. So those are copies. Questions? Now, instead of using systems, environment, current directory, I could have put in that whole F drive line that I came out with that it's equal to. But again, what I've done is then made it non-portable because I can't run it on my computer at home and then come in and run it here because they're going to be different drives. So I've made it non-portable once I put a drive in there. okay, unless I put it on the C drive. But even then, where am I going to put it? Am I going to have the same directories at home that I have here and so forth and so on? So that's why I like to put in and let it use the system environment current directory, because it will then find the directory and I can use it. Okay? So questions?
Does it have to be an Access database?
You have to change the connection, and we're going to look at SQL Server next. So it can be any database, and it doesn't even have to be a Microsoft one. I can hook into Oracle and that sort of thing.
Because I have OpenOffice, and it's called Base.
Look it up and find out. What you've got to change is this part, the provider part.
Oh, okay.
And so you can go and look up what they want for the provider part there, and then you can go ahead and use all the databases. I don't remember, I've done it, but I don't remember if you're not using a Microsoft product whether you have to give more information or not. But if you just go and Google it, right, it supposedly will connect to most major databases. You know, I have used it mainly with my Microsoft products, so I don't know for sure. Okay. So, that is that. So now we're going to open the next one, which, if I look at my, is Book ADO. So file, open project, Book ADO. Okay, so if I look at Book ADO, if I go into Access again, and I say open other files, and I'm going to go to computer and browse, and I'm going to my F drive, and I'm going to go to my directory called VBADO Access. I'm going to Book ADO, and going to bin and going to debug, and there is the Books09 database. Okay, and so if I look at this table, that's the data that I have on this table. And that's the main thing I need to know, is I need to know what I call the fields on the Access table, because I'm going to be using those as I go through. You know, so I've got to know what the fields are. You also should not leave Access open when you are working in the Microsoft. Go look at it, but then close it down, because if the table's open, it's not going to work. Okay, because then it's got the table in use someplace else, and it's got a conflict going on. So as you can see, the stuff on this... Come on. Takes forever. As you can see, the stuff on this is the same. I've got the system environment current directory. The only difference here is I've now said it's book09.accdb. And with the select, I did a select asterisk, so I didn't even have to know their names. So, now I've got the read next. Okay, so again, I made the connection between SQL string and connector string. I tend to use these same names over and over again. And for you who've taken PHP, I do the same thing. This is similar to what you have to do in PHP to do the connection. And I basically don't want to have to remember what I call them. So I pretty consistently call them current string, connection string, and SQL string. And that way, I, you know, basically know what that line is, so I don't just copy and paste the words, I copy and paste the name as well on most all of these. So at the bottom I've got fill text boxes, and then on the read I did exactly the same thing I did before. So I can read next, read next, read next, read next. Then I get to find. And my find lets me type in a title and find that title. So I typed in a title and I found the title. Okay. So I had a find, I type it in, and I find it. And so this is using a search, which we have looked at before, where I'm doing a search. So I put out an input box. Well, let's start at the beginning. I started out and I dimmed search index. I dimmed to find title, which is the title I want to find. I dimmed found title as a Boolean false this time. As opposed to using Y and N, I just did false. And false, if you're going to use true and false, they're Boolean. So I dimmed it as a Boolean false, and when I find it, I set it to true. So that's another thing you can do in the search, is instead of Y and N, you can have true and false.
Can you also use a 0 and a 1?
Sure.
I've seen a lot of languages do that.
Yep. So now I said to find title, I put up an input box, and it's doing the input box. And then I said, do while the search index is less than the rows. Okay, is less than the rows. And the found title is equal to false. So again, this is the kind of thing we've looked at in the search before, where I'm saying, while it is less than the row count, and it's not found. If it's found, I don't want to do it again. And if it hits the row count, that means it doesn't exist. I don't want to do it again. So then I say, okay, if convert to string, book DT, which is where I put it in the adapter up above, if book DT rows modified by search index title equals to find title. So I'm looking at the title on the table and comparing it with to find title, which I filled from the input box. If it is, then set find title to true, and the row index, which I'm going to use, to search index. Else, and one to search index. So then I go through until I either get out because I've checked everything or I found a match. I say found title equals true, then do the fill doxes. Else, put a space, fill boxes, there we go. Fill text boxes, else put a space in the text box and say title not found. So if I put in that I want to find, well apparently I did, ABC, and I say find, whoops, I have to put it there. ABC. It comes back and says title not found. Okay? Any questions? Okay. Let's look at number 3. What was number 3? What did I want? ADO current 12.
That's an interesting file names.
I only wish I could keep track of them. Okay, this one I'm setting up a currency manager.
So I've got my book PT at my data table, I've got my row index, and now I've got a currency manager, and it's defined as the type currency manager. So currency manager is a type, and I called it Kerr-Mange. Okay. So I go through and do what I did, which is fill the text boxes. Okay. And I do that a little bit differently when I'm using the currency manager. Hello. Thank you. Okay. So I'm coming out of here after I have found it and everything like that. I say, okay, currency manager equals, and I'm binding it to books DT. And I'm binding it to books DT. Okay, and I set the currency manager position equal to zero. And then, as you notice down below, I've got a first, so if I say, well, let's look at next. Next goes on and keeps moving in further. If I then say first, it goes to the first. If I say last, it goes to the last. If I say previous, it goes to the previous, back to first, down to last. I can move all around. Okay? And I've set up the currency manager to help me do that. And so if I click on first, it goes to position zero. If I click on last, it goes to the count minus one. And so it goes to the last one. If I go to next and previous, I check and make sure that I'm not going out of range.
Is it seeing the data as an array?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so it is on previous and next, it's checking to see that I don't run out of range. So does next, in other words, when I'm at the last one, if I say next, I actually have it set to go back to the first. But again, I could have said you run out. But if they say next when they've hit the last, I send it back to the first, and I do that by saying current manager position equals zero. Okay? And if they hit previous and they're at the first already, and they hit previous, I just stay at the first. Okay? Because there is no previous one if you're at the first. Okay? So, in the fill, notice that I say text isbin dot data bindings dot add. And then I say text book T isbin. Okay? So I am going in there and writing it a little bit different. Okay? So if you want to use the binding, you have to set it up.
You have to define it up here as a currency manager. You have to tell it you're doing binding, and then you have to include data binding in the field.
Okay. And so it fills things. Questions? Okay, file close solution. What's the next one? VB grid, and then I'm going to stop and have you do one. because I want to make sure you're getting them. Where did I go? Wrong place. I want to do a file, open project, and then I've got VB Grid. I think VB Grid 12, maybe. Somebody want to tell me if that's the right name? Yeah, it is. Okay, so now I have set up a grid. So if you watch this run, there's my grid. Okay, so I've put all of the records into a grid. So I do the same thing, book DT is a new table. I do the same path, I do the same string. I select asterisks from book. I do the linking. I then fill book DT. And then I say, okay, this is the name of the grid. And the grid is going to have a data source that is book DT. So I just put the whole of book DT into the grid. And it gives me scroll bars so I can scroll up and down. And I can scroll back and forth. So I've just said go and fill the grid. And we'll see in other examples, probably on Thursday, how that works. Okay, what I want you to do is, you must have a database. If you don't, then download one of my databases. Just go to my examples and just download one of the databases. And I want you to write a simple one like the first one I did, but I want to make sure you're getting the connection strings okay. I should have pointed out on this one an informed design. There's my grid, and it's a data grid view. I just dragged over a data grid view. So what I want you to do is I want to make sure the connection's working. So you can do it like any one of the ones I did, or you can make up your own thing, but I want to make sure you're connecting to data and showing data. And you can put them in text boxes, or you can put it in a grid. But I just want to make sure that you're able to make the connection. So I want you to write something similar to my number one, or similar to this one that I did, where you've got to make the connection. So
what is that gray box that you have there?
That's my grid. See, I've got it printed on. That's data grid view. So if I go down here and find data, there's data grid view, and I dragged over data grid view. And that's the grid that I'm filling. And I gave it the name BGD Basic 12. Okay, so that's the name that I gave my grid. So we're now looking at databases. And Pat's coming back and can chit-chat with you at that point when he comes back, but try to get this done before he comes back. So you got about 10 minutes, guys. Ah, come on. 10 minutes. Plenty of time.
I gotta see the help desk about getting access on here.
Access on where? Oh, on there.
Yeah.
Dream SPAC or Office 365? As I said, you could always break precedent and actually use our machine.
Yeah, but it's not going to help me at home. I'm doing homework. I'm going to
have to install all Office. And then, like, just like install it and just like now. Because
I'm working for
had to do it, that's why.
As I said, you can go in and download my database if you don't have one of your own. Not really. I think Chapter 10 does a little talking about this, but Chapter 10 mostly has you doing stuff with the wizard, which we'll look at next, but I think it makes sense to understand it and to look at the code that is, that if you don't want to use the wizard, this is the code you can use. This is the code you can write. And then we're going to play around more with the wizard and with VB, with Web Matrix, rather. And show that it worked. I mean, so something like what I did here.
Yeah.
And, or something like what I did on the grid. I'd actually rather you do this one because this one involves the full text boxes, but filled text boxes, but I'm mostly interested in making the connection and making sure you can get the data out of the database. Because if you can't get data out of the database, we've got a problem. As I said, what you've got to look for is the provider.
Thank you.
an office even around anymore? Are they updating it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got open office too, but I haven't updated it in a while.
Still,
I thought they weren't updating it, but there was a new one that had come out that was...
Yeah, I think they renamed it LibreOffice. That's actually what they had, but it's the same thing. It's the same team of...
That's what I thought. But that's why I wondered if they were actually updating OpenOffice. Because I keep meaning to install the Libre one.
I mean, I only download things, need a text editor, but not a database.
So it would be Libre that I should be looking up here.
Yeah.
Actually, he was trying to connect to OpenOffice.
OpenOffice?
From VB database.
Huh.
I feel like this.
Oh, really? They fight each other there?
So, was that worthwhile?
It was.
Good.
The ice cream was delicious.
No. The conversation with Terry is what I came about.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
Talk.
Oh.
Back up, and I'm going to.
Right.
Because I had turned it off when they were just working.
C++ was good. I mean, it taught me a lot about object-oriented programming, structure, things like that. That those were really, really important. I'm trying to learn C#, I guess, right now. So I mean, I.
But how much did you find that it varies from C++? I mean, how much of a variation did you find?
C++
is
very... It's pretty close.
It's very manual.
It's
pretty
close.
You have to pretty much build everything in C++.
Yeah, C++ is right to the system.
Yeah.
It's doing system programming there.
Right.
VB and C# are, like, alike, but, like, different styles, different syntax.
So I've heard C# is more user-friendly, where they have more libraries that are kind of...
They have a lot of libraries.
Yeah.
System.web,
Java is even more friendly.
Java.
It's
another way to go.
Yeah.
Clips.
Even like they have lines. But you can't really manipulate the libraries that much with Java, whereas with C you can. Like, you can do whatever you want.
C++, you can do anything you want. C#, I mean, there's certain limitations. It's not as fast. That's what I should say. Because you're getting closer to the system.
So do you make web pages? Because you do a lot of jQuery.
I help modify tools that we use.
Okay.
Mostly what I do.
Do you like manipulate the libraries in jQuery?
No, I don't.
You just work within them?
I work with them. I work with what I'm given.
do you do any parallaxing?
Parallaxing?
Yeah.
Just define that.
It's just another library in jQuery where... You have multiple layers of the web page.
Threading?
Kind of. I actually made one. Like you have like let's
Good.
Say like a like your first layer would be like your background images.
Yeah.
You can have because you know jQuery has multiple like modules, let's say.
Yeah.
So you can have like different wallpapers per module.
Yep.
But then you have like another layer on top of that. Where
now you did this in your job.
No, I just did this for board.
Nice.
And then another one's like a layer for like let's say text or anything that you want to show. And when you scroll, you'll see the different layers.
Oh, like Z levels and stuff like that. Yeah, that's.
And then
that's
like you have another layer.
That's for it's like, yeah. If we did do that.
It's called parallaxing.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's like the.
I didn't know there was a term. I just, that's just layering things on top of each other.
Right. And when you scroll, they all move.
It's about positioning, absolute position, relative position, all that stuff. That's CSS, too. Yeah. You can find all that.
That's all done in jQuery.
Yeah, you can do jQuery with it, but it's still CSS.
Yeah,
CSS
and
Z levels.
Exactly.
So.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I see, that's where a lot of the new, design for web is going.
Some of it, yeah.
I see a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some of that. And you can make your own custom things.
Yeah,
and as things, CSS3 was a big hit. And, it made things a lot easier for web developers to create new applications and whatnot, web pages. One of the things we use is, we have tools for Ajax.
Oh, okay.
And,
Red
Ajax, we call it. And, What it kind of does, it's Ajax with C#, and one of the things that I learned, I'm trying to learn this myself now, is that our old programs used to use PNG, like sprites, and there'd be so much sprites, and that would cause it to be sluggish or slow down when you're trying to load the web page. It's trying to load all these things at once.
Where you see a different PNG, like
picture PNG files. Pictures.
Okay.
So then what happened was they switched the technology in CSS3.
Yeah.
Before, pretend you had to make like a font. Or no, something like a font. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go into Photoshop and create this font and save it, and that's your sprite. Now they're using Vector, which is a total different thing. You just use CSS3.
Right.
And you can create it on the spot. Like, oh, I want red. Boom. Done. You don't have to go into Photoshop and change it. That's the difference. And things move faster. It's lightweight. It's called lightweight rendering.
Yeah.
Instead of classic
rendering. I've even seen some companies, they take like a lower res image and they put a filter over the image to make it appear like, I don't know, like say like sepia or whatever.
Yeah.
So it looks better in resolution. But it's actually a very low res image. It's for better load time. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
So make sure that, loading like a full HD wallpaper. You can just load like, a picture that's like 10 kilobits or something like that.
Did you get it working?
Yeah.
I put it in the wrong place.
But now it's okay, and so you got the connection. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
I learned a lot of lingo.
I got the form.
You
clicked what?
The box.
I must have the mouse in the wrong place. I thought I clicked and
but then there's also the instance, creating new instances of objects. If I said, could you make a JavaScript, is there such thing as like object-oriented programming in JavaScript, what would you say?
I guess. I mean, not really.
What do you guys think? I'm just curious. I don't know if you guys done JavaScript at all.
I mean, I do JavaScript.
We do it some, but we haven't got into, we've gotten into DOM.
Yeah.
But not really the whole object-oriented model.
I'm going to give you a little lesson. JavaScript can actually... It is an object-oriented language. That's what it's meant to be. So when you create variables and stuff like that, it's not just a variable, it's an object. So, for instance, you have var a equals this. That's a variable, but a is an object, and its property is this. It's just... There's certain things... that I learned that it's a different world. It's just different. When I got into the field, I didn't know that JavaScript was an object-oriented programming language. I just considered it's like whatever.
JavaScript has had so many evolutions.
It has.
I mean, it started out as this simplistic little thing that was going to let you.
Yeah.
And it's just taken off.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But yes, it does come in object-oriented.
And that's the way it should be. Do you mind if I go into that thing really quickly?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to show you really quick. MDN is a very good resource for this kind of thing.
Get rid of all this stuff. Go ahead.
Like when I think of modules, I think of C. It's where you have like
a kind of
GUI generator, and then that would be your object, and then you would have that. So yeah, I guess that Java is the same thing.
Right. I mean, you can turn most any language. I mean, you can even turn COBOL into object-oriented. And nobody had ever even heard of object-oriented when COBOL was developed.
Right.
But they came out with an object-oriented COBOL, so every language can be written. And object-oriented is more about style than it is about the particular language.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it. I'll just find with this. Yeah, JavaScript.
So I guess any variable that's manipulating.
All right.
But it was interesting to watch VB go toward object-oriented. I mean, way back when I first learned VB, again, nobody heard about object-oriented.
There you go.
And they changed version 6. Well, they didn't have to have problems with saturation. But version 6 and before were not object-oriented. You know, they didn't have as many of them.
Yeah, like this thing here. You can see, I'm trying to find a good vision, like a good solid. I think that's the winner. There you go.
Right.
This is perfect, right here. Boom!
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Var, my car equals new object. My car dot make equals Ford. My car dot model equals Mustang. My car dot year equals 1969. You're defining properties from my car. And that is the way JavaScript is meant to be. And like in VB, you're making objects. This is exactly what object-oriented programming is. You're creating one thing, and you're adding properties to it. You're saying, I want this thing to have, okay, say an animal. You have an animal object. And this animal, let me try it better, let me make it more simple. Cat object. And the cat object has dot fur, and you could say like soft is the property. Then you could have a dot name, I don't know, fluffy. And you have dot noise, meow.
Dot breed, dot this, dot
that. Yep. And it can inherit from other objects. I'm going way beyond, but it can inherit from like so. Cat can inherit from animal, and so it would use the classes from animal to be used in cat. So these are just thoughts, like for object-oriented programming.
Right. Usually here we do object-oriented more in the second semester of VB, in the second semester of C.
Yep.
In the second semester.
It's kind of tough. Well, I mean, the concept itself is weird. You're like, well, I don't need to do that. I just do A equals this, and you're all set. And it's not like, no. You're opening yourself up into a new world when you're using object-oriented programming.
And in fact, Visual Basic is being used. It's just not beating you over the head with the fact that it's doing it.
Yeah.
But Visual Basic, you know, when you're setting stuff up, it's not saying this is object-oriented, but it is.
Yep.
The something dot something.
Yeah. So this is something interesting. So you're using Visual Basic right now. You know, like, you have, like, textbox dot text. Textbox is an object. Text is a property.
Right.
You set the property text. Everything in that is kind of
like with labels. Like I want to assign like a total to a variable, but actually like LBL whatever dot text.
Dot text.
Dot label. Oh yeah.
Dot text is the property.
No, and that's why I say that Visual Basic is using object oriented. It's just dot. It's not saying as much that that's an object and that's a property. It's just doing it that way.
Right.
But if you read the textbook, which would be interesting reading. It will go
nighttime
into that.
Reading.
Huh?
Yeah.
When you need to fall asleep, is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I can't sleep tonight. It's never in the book.
So, yeah, no, it's really something to think about. And then on top of that, you're using the actual, the built-in libraries to make your objects. For instance, my form.
Or jQuery, I mean. Tons of objects.
Well, you know, form, you know, when you make a form in Visual Basic, you have that form, it's there, it's just really floating, and it works, you just know it works. The only reason why is because of system.windows.form. It's a library that you're using.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, if you ever look at the source behind these.
Yeah, it's a library that Microsoft and whoever made, so you could use that. And then you have form dot whatever, load.
And all the properties you set then go into the description of the form.
I've actually noticed that even with like even C++, like they have tons of libraries like that where you actually can step into the functions and you can see exactly, I mean, and they're huge.
Right.
Like so, they have thousands of lines to just do simple things.
No, exactly, because they have to do every single solitary. Yeah.
How long is this class?
Well, this class is ended.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they can still talk. I mean, the help session kind of comes here. She is here, actually, for help.
Okay, nice. Very good. Erica?
Michaela.
Okay, you were saying, who's
Eric, the... that's Eric. Your replacement.
Eric. Yes. Oh, okay.
I only took 120, though, so far, so I don't know PHP.
He hasn't taken the PHP course, so...
Yeah. It's tough. I remember taking it. I haven't used it in a long time, but I can tell. it's all service.
Good review.
Yeah, it's all service.
PHP is good.
Hidden. So for future stuff, I don't know if I discuss this much, but like for future, what's the trending for computer science? I was talking to him about it. One thing is Universal Windows Platform, which is creating a website. Like, say you make a desktop application. Works for Microsoft. You click on it, like, you know, when you go to the Microsoft Store.
Mobile. Then it goes to Windows Mobile or something.
Yeah, it goes to Windows. Yeah, so you have a Windows desktop application.
Exactly.
Before, it used to be just, it only works for that, and that is it. Now, it's working for, that application can work for Xbox, it can work for the HoloLens, it can work for everything.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's why it's called Universal.
Wow.
It's Windows 10.
Pretty soon more than that.
Yep.
You're trying to get to, like, iOS.
That's like WordPress. You can actually export your WordPress site directly into Android.
Okay, nice.
Directly.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah,
how
are
you doing? All right, yourself? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Another thing, so have you guys heard of the HoloLens?
Yeah, I saw.
You've heard of the HoloLens.
John Mayer, right?
Yeah, John Mayer. I've not seen
right
the John
there.
Mayer thing. That's weird.
No, they're making fun of it on YouTube. I think it's The Verge.
Oh.
Like, can we have the HoloLens? We play that? Oh, there's John Mayer. He's playing in your living room.
HoloLens is amazing, though. It's a big thing that's happening. So if you haven't heard it, a HoloLens is like... I'll just bring it up.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
It's like an Oculus, but better.
It's pretty amazing. It puts the virtual reality into reality. It's like an
right,
overlay.
Then you have the tools you want. And it is in the database, so those are the only two.
Damn. I'm trying to find the one particular one. It was a really good demo. It was recent, too.
It came out like, 2 weeks ago? Right?
No. It's been around for some time to talk about. 2005 it came out, like, to talk.
Didn't they just release a new one?
A new what?
Like, version of it?
Yeah. Yep.
Like,
and I was trying to find the thing about that. Like it's
very recently.
Yeah.
Well, I make an ID number instead of rated. I put rated down.
Let's just do that really quickly. I don't know if this has sound or not. No, it doesn't. But essentially, you put on the HoloLens headgear.
Yeah.
I'll reverse. So they all have glasses on right there. You can barely see it, but it's going through. And you're able to see it. It's augmented reality. It's holographic.
Yeah.
Oculus is, I feel like it's mostly gaming.
Yeah.
This one's going to be more for, like, say you want to make a phone call to somebody. You can actually, yep. You can see it like a 3D image. It's like Star Wars. It's crazy. So that's, they're wearing it right now. And you'll see what they're going to see in a second. So that's anatomy. They're looking at a body. And they can see the whole thing. And that's what they see from that angle.
I've actually seen surgeons use, I don't know if it's HoloLens, but, some, you know, virtual reality, like, goggles. And they have a camera in someone's body, and they can actually do surgery.
So,
almost remotely.
So random. So now that you know about this technology, did you know you can make programs for this? Yeah. Universal Windows Universal is going to be able to do that for you. And you'll be able to make anything you want.
You're going
to
jump into it?
Yeah, if I can help it. Okay. The only thing is, I'm not going to jump into it right off the bat. It's like a $3,000 development kit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Right.
But I want you to think that's the future. I mean, someday there will be an economical thing for us to all get. And we'll be able to all...
Like, when you get old, that could be the way you're communicating with your kids. Or grandkids. That's freaky.
So, the technology will get better. It'll get smaller and more compact.
It's, like, exciting and terrifying at the same time.